Hey, everybody, welcome to the Irreplaceable Man podcast. Let me fix my mic real quick. I am here with my, do you have a line?
I don't have a line. Okay. You're the one who always has the line.
I'm here with my lovely, amazing, supportive, patient.
That's for sure.
Partner, wife.
My jacket's making too much noise.
And today we're going to be talking about restoring physical and financial trust in your relationship, in your marriage. And really what we want to make sure we point out big time is that you most likely do not have physical and financial trust with yourself to the level at which you expect it in your relationship. So we've got to talk about restoring it in yourself first. And that could be your physical abilities. It could be the way you trust yourself, like playing with your kids. I know a lot of guys will say to me, you know, I don't know how far I can push things physically because I haven't done it in a while. That's physical trust. If it's worn or if it's eroded, you got to replace that or you've got to restore that. And then a lot of the guys in our mastermind and our coaching programs have challenges with financial trust personally because they've never been taught it. We weren't taught how to invest or how to manage money or even the value of money, except for its actual currency value, not its intrinsic value. And so we've got to restore financial trust with ourselves. And actually, it's not even restore. It's we've got to build an education and a relationship with our financial, with our money. Like we've got to build a financial.
Yeah. It's like wildly important.
That sounds very cliche.
Why does it sound, but it's true, not like we aren't taught how to do our taxes in high school. We're taught how to do calculus. And like, that's a very, I don't do calculus now.
Yeah.
But, and so like the same thing, you know, we aren't taught like how to manage money in school. And unless you have like really financially savvy parents or someone in your life that is like, you have to teach yourself.
Yeah, agreed. And the challenge is that we go, and we're going to talk about it today, especially with the financial piece, is we go into our relationships and we don't set proper boundaries. We don't set proper expectations. We don't understand what we're doing, especially in the financial aspect. Yeah, and priorities. And we're not sitting down with our brand new partner, you know, our brand new girlfriend or boyfriend, and saying, okay, I know we're supercharged physically. Hey, Jake, I know we're supercharged physically. I know there's a lot of endorphins. I know there's a lot of emotions. I know there's a lot of stuff going on. And let's just take a break for a second and talk about our financial thermostat and education. And why don't you bring your financial stuff to the table and I'll bring mine. And you bring your credit score and I'll bring mine and all the debt you have. And let's make sure that we have a plan going forward. I mean, how many people do we know that have never done that? Is it everyone?
I don't know.
Unless that's your profession, it's very rare.
Excuse me. I don't know anyone that's...
Nobody does that because in the beginning, you're fueled by hormones and emotions and the physical attraction and the sex and the all the fun fluffy stuff, and then all of a sudden you snap your fingers and it's 10 years later and all of a sudden you got these insane issues, except it's not now, it's been that way since the beginning, it's just manifesting now.
Mm-hmm.
And there's never been a plan or expectations in the past in place, so you get the results you get.
Mm-hmm.
So today we're going to talk about strategies for rebuilding your physical trust and your financial trust with yourself and your spouse. And the interesting thing is when guys come to me and I say to them, well, there are 6 trust types. Do you think all of them are good? And they'll say, well, what are they? And I say, well, this is what most guys think. Most guys think that if you said, does your wife trust you? Do you trust your wife? I think we can break it down into some simple pieces. One, we trust each other that we're not going to hurt each other physically or kill each other in our sleep. Mm-hmm. Right? You have this natural ability. It's kind of like when you get in a car, you kind of just have a natural trust that people are going to stay on their side of the road and not run over you while you're trying to park, or, you know.
Yeah.
It's a natural inherent trust. Then there's the, I trust that you're not going to empty our bank accounts and run to Mexico.
Yes.
Pretty simple. I trust you with our kids. Mm-hmm. And I trust that you're not going to cheat on me. And those four are pretty much it.
Yeah.
Except what we're forgetting about is that we don't have the internal trust.
Right.
And that's being projected into the relationship. And then when you throw money on top of it, mm-hmm. especially with money being one of the most common factors for divorce, mm-hmm. that, you know, irreconcilable differences is you guys didn't work on your shit. You didn't understand how to do the work on yourselves. And so the individuals came into the partnership broken, and it just kept breaking, and it's just inevitably broken. Where a financial piece is like the last straw. Because when that trust is broken, money and the relationship with money is so significant with safety and significance, mm-hmm. that if your partner is completely broken your trust, most people are just going to be out.
Yeah.
Any thoughts?
No, I think.
Why don't you start with the first one right here? Just read this right here and then here, and I'm going to add to the chat.
Strategies for rebuilding physical trust by creating a safe and supportive environment. I should do voiceovers.
You just read that like a robot.
I did?
Yes.
No, I meant like I was trying to read it like a newscaster. Okay, strategies for rebuilding physical trust by creating a safe and supportive environment. Setting clear boundaries.
Yeah. Now talk about that for a second while I, what does that mean? And we just kind of went over it. And this goes with communication trust too. And the next one does as well. Having an open and honest conversation with your partner about your physical boundaries.
Right.
And make sure that they are respected. So, mm-hmm. what does that mean to you? And I have something to drop in there. Let me pop this question in.
That you're...
Give an example.
I mean, it's not like, I feel like it's so base, like it, I'm that my physical being is safe in your presence.
What, sorry, I'm trying to get this question.
You're not going to like turn around and like push me.
Let's go with simpler than that.
Yeah.
Let's get deep into the intimacy and sexual component. Because if the physical trust is present in terms of, I trust that you're not going to beat me up or kill me, mm-hmm. or that I'm physically safe with you. Like if an attacker comes, you know, I know for a fact that you're going to get a lot more of it than I am. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Or you're going to actually step in front of me. Oh my God. you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do. I know exactly. You know exactly what you're
going to
say.
What was that show? You don't remember what I'm talking about? happened twice. It was a show. We LOL our asses off for it. It was like maybe it was Kevin Hart or something, where an attacker came in and like and he threw the girl in front of him, and he was like, "Oh, I'm so sorry, baby," and then he threw her in again.
Yeah,
was it? I don't know. Whatever. Is that what you thought I was talking about?
No, I thought you were talking about something else.
What was it?
The time. That you sent me downstairs to see if somebody had broken into our house.
I was so out of it. Tell the story real quick.
Our alarm went off randomly in the middle of the night. Like we heard a bang or whatever, and our alarm went off. And I was like, Ian, go see what's happening. And he's like, I will.
And then I was delusional.
And then he didn't go. And so I was like, I'll go. And our cat had just knocked something over and set the alarm off, but
it didn't register.
Ian had no concept. And the next morning,
I didn't remember.
You had no idea what had happened.
Let's talk about this. Let's get into this, because guys, this is something that's really important. I mean, we've gone over trust for the last 4 weeks, this being the fourth one. And trust is so massively important. And there's so many aspects of trust that are broken that it's important that we continue to go over it. By the way, if you haven't yet downloaded our 12-step guide to becoming an irreplaceable husband, I'm going to drop that in the chat. If you haven't yet downloaded our 6 trust types document, which is what we're going over here, I'll drop it in the chat. And if you want the notes, if you're like a car salesman, and if you want those floor mats, if you want the notes from this conversation, like Meredith and I have 3 pages of notes here that are very organized. If you want those, you got to come to the Thursday training, which is inside this group. It's on Zoom. It's free. And what we do is we'll take a little bit of a deep dive and do some Q&A with you guys live on the stuff that we talk about today. So you have the opportunity to do your thing now, and you have the opportunity. And now it all shows up on my phone and not your phone.
Because you're not the way, it's where you're.
It's okay. I think I saw Marcus on that. Hey, buddy, you made it. And I think I saw Aaron Klinger. What's up, Aaron? And Jeremy's on here. Guys, participate. Drop your questions in so we can answer them.
You can leave it there.
Oh.
You have to leave it on that one.
Okay, I got it. I can't see the people that have joined. That's cool, though. So wrapping that up, if you want the notes from this call, come Thursday and you'll get the notes from this call. And it's free. And there's a lot of other free stuff that we have resources for you to just kickstart and get started. Why? Some guys aren't ready to do the deep dive. Most guys are ready to do the deep dive inside of our mastermind or our coaching programs or our private coaching. If you're not, start here. We want to offer as much value as possible. So you got this and you got Thursday is free. You got a ton of free resources. Take advantage. Okay. So with trust being an issue, if what's off the table, and it's kind of like, why are you married, right? When we talk inside the mastermind about what's the mission of your marriage, most guys think bill splits, you know, covering expenses together, love, children, and companionship. Mm-hmm. Those are the top 4. Did you guys know that? Splitting expenses, companionship, raising children together, and love are the reasons why most guys say they stay married. Those are bullshit. Take those off the table. Just like with physical trust, if your spouse and you trust each other to not beat each other up and kill each other in your sleep, like, then that's off the table. And that's just like covering expenses. So now we have to talk about the physical body. Mm-hmm. And we have to talk about intimacy. Mm-hmm. I need to watch our time. I don't know what time it is. All right, we're good. When we talk about that, how many women don't feel like they are able to fully physically trust themselves in an intimate situation with their spouse, with their husband? In your opinion, guys, listen up to this. This is real.
What do you mean physically?
So trust themselves? how many women and men, for example, for that matter too, can fully express themselves physically with their partner? How many of them feel heard and supported? How many of them go through the same like boring bullshit in their sexual or physical intimate experience? Or how many of them want something new or have been married for 20 years and are like, geez, man, we got to switch some shit up. Like, there's so much stuff that I want for my wife. I just can't talk to her about it because communication, reliability, and emotional trust isn't there. So the physical trust in the sense of the I'm physically safe with you, that you're not going to kill me. If that's off the table, then what are we illuminating in terms of other physical trust? And yeah, maybe you have great sex together. Is it as deep as it could be? Because is your partner or are you as physically trusting of your partner as you could be? Does that make sense? Yeah.
I mean, I get what you're what you're trying to say.
Do you think everybody else gets it? Because maybe that didn't make sense. Do you guys drop a thumbs up or something? Does that make sense? That if you feel physically safe with your partner, are you able to express physically what you need, or are you physically satisfied?
I think that there's like mental blocks to that too. I think it's more. I know. I sign up for a lot of things to remind myself, and then, Jeremy said yes. I think that it's also there's like a mental and emotional aspect of that too when you're talking about intimacy.
Well, if your partner doesn't feel emotionally trustworthy or doesn't have emotional trust, that's why we went over these last, because these are the ones that you just think of. Mm-hmm. If your partner doesn't trust you with their emotions, mm-hmm. which you haven't trusted me with your emotions mm-hmm. before, Oh shit, I haven't trusted you with my emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Really? You're looking at my tooth?
No.
No. I saw you look down and I was like, I'm so
I was looking at your skin.
It's really good, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're following a routine, aren't you?
See this, guys? This is good communication. I am very self-conscious about that too.
About okay, well, you know, then you don't have to tell the masses.
I gotta tell the masses. I need them to know. I need the pressure to be pushed.
Anyway.
Yeah.
We
have not trusted each other emotionally before.
Yeah.
Does that change the physical aspect? I'm gonna be as PC as I can, just in case our parents are listening. And I also want to be as helpful as I can as we can for these everybody listening. So how much does it affect the physical experience and your trust of me physically in an intimate environment?
I think that impacts significantly.
Yeah.
Because like in an intimate environment with your spouse or your partner,
yeah,
you should feel like you can
let yourself go.
Yeah. And
I agree.
And if you're not trusting, I feel like, is that why like people like have affairs? Because yeah. They can like let it go.
Yeah, because there's not
much, someone they don't know.
There's not as much at stake.
Yeah.
You know, what's at stake here is I could be really hurt. I could be really affected. I could be emotionally scarred. I could be traumatized. But if there's just a sexual or physical connection, then
yeah, then it doesn't matter.
Then there's it's not no really doesn't really yeah, there's not as much at stake because your emotions and your traumas aren't really present. So I think that's a really good one. We're gonna run through this category, guys. We got a lot to write down here. And again, if you want the notes, come to the Thursday training, you'll get the notes right afterward. I think about when I was writing these up, I just think about how significant that is. Like the first one is set clear boundaries.
Yes.
So strategies for rebuilding physical trust by creating safe and supportive environment. Set clear boundaries. That's not just physical boundaries like I don't appreciate this or I don't appreciate that. It's deeper than that in terms of like we've had clients before that, you know, who don't like when their wives make advances on them.
Mm-hmm.
They feel insecure because their wife may be pushing a little too hard or being a little too aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
That's because your wife is in more of a masculine driven energy and you're feeling the brunt of that.
Right.
Or, you know, a spouse doesn't like their body touched in an inappropriate manner without, you know, I don't want to say consent or permission,
but it is but like consent and permission.
Right. But it is. And I'm just talking like in a random scenario. I'm not talking like in a sexual or intimate setting. I'm talking that, like,
then it's
like smacking your butt in the kitchen, which I think is playful and flirty. But that in that moment, just because it happened yesterday doesn't mean that it's okay in that moment. And I don't want to get into like all the consenting and all that. I don't want to go down that road. But there is a huge point in that. Like if your communication and emotional trust isn't present and you're making moves to try and spice things up, how do you know that your partner wants that? If you just don't know, like that's your boundaries. That's mm-hmm. about their physical boundaries. Like have a conversation around that. Most people don't have that conversation because it's going to be awkward and uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like, hey, would you mind if I smack your ass every once in a while in the kitchen while we're making breakfast? Like, who does that?
Honestly, there are people that do have those conversations.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, if that.
The reason why we're saying have the conversation is because if you don't, and the communication's not present and there, and there's not a free line to actually share what you're feeling, then the physical trust is going to be broken because now you're crossing a line with your own partner that you didn't realize was crossing a line. You think, it's my wife. I want to be flirty. I'll spice things up a little bit. And this is where guys call me all the time and they go, I feel like I'm doing everything she wants me to do.
Well, but it's also like, how are you approaching it? Are you just like showing up while she's like in the middle of making lunches and breakfast and they're kids hanging off of her, and you're all of a sudden you show up and you're smacking your ass. She's probably like overstimulated, touched out, like just
talk about that for a second.
Overwhelmed, and here you are, like that doesn't help the situation. Like, there's reading the room. Like, is now an appropriate time to try and be flirty?
You're making a great point. Can you keep going on that? Because I think guys don't realize, at least the guys that I talk to, how much their spouses do. Then there's resentment and regret in there. There's all kinds of stuff present. And here we are coming into the present moment, not knowing what's actually present and thinking, I'm going to be spontaneous. Mm-hmm. I'm going to light her fire. Tonight's going to be the night, and I'm going to start at a breakfast. And you don't realize that every move you make is going downhill because the person doesn't feel heard or supported.
Yeah.
And now the physical trust barrier has been broken. And then when you get home later on and you're like, hey, so, you know, been pretty fun today. And the person's like, fuck you, dude.
Yeah.
Did you not see my reaction? And the a lot of the feedback I get from guys is, but I read the love languages. But isn't physical touch your love language? And I go, guys, you're fucking up.
I think
it's not the love languages is a great resource.
Yeah.
And it's a great but have, guide. Here,
what so from past experience, I think you have made assumptions.
Yeah.
About this is what like setting clear boundaries and like having the communication, which communicating effectively is the next one, but like don't like you reading this has happened before. You read love languages before I did because you were in like it came up in a group you were in, whatever, blah, blah, blah. You read it and you made assumptions about what my love languages what my love languages are. And so you just rolled with that.
I thought I was doing great.
Yeah. But this is communicating effectively. It's like once I read and like, cause I got annoyed with you making assumptions about my love languages. So then I read it and did the whole thing to like, if you make those assumptions without talking to your partner, that's where you go wrong. And that's when you start to lose
ground.
Yeah.
Or attraction.
You know, like you like playfully thinking that, okay, and yes, physical touch might be a love language, but you also have to read the room. Like,
yeah.
Especially if you have kids, like at the end of the day, if your partner is home with the kids, like I get touched out from people hanging all, especially with like young kids. Yeah. Like the last thing you want to do is have another person
touch you. Which I never realized.
Especially when as a woman, like your body belongs to a lot of other people before it belongs to yourself.
Yeah. So any wives listening, this is where self-love, self-care, self-trust comes in play big time.
Yeah.
And self-respect
and husbands
too.
Listening to,
well,
like understand that like
it's important for the men.
It's not a like a no, I don't want you to touch me because it's because I have not felt in my body.
Yeah. Or like your body was yours.
Or like it was mine. And so, yeah, if I just want to go and like be physically and mentally alone in a space, like that's fine. And if you respect that and like.
It's hard to do that though, because I think what I was thinking back then was, okay, well, our love life, physical love life is really suffering and it's my job to spark it back up. Yet I wasn't illuminated to or illuminating or clear or willing even to understand all the other things. I was like, let's just fire this up. Let's just fire the love light back up. Okay. I read love languages. She's physical touch. Let's go.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was missing 98% of everything else.
Yeah.
And that's why I just really want to point that out. And that's why we're kind of staying here for a second, is because the love languages is amazing. All these other books, these guides and assessments are great I equate it to channel markers, right? If you're a boater, these are channel markers. Or if you're driving on the road, these are the orange cones. They're a suggestion. They're not a concrete wall that you can't go past. You could run over cones all day long. The challenge is that if you really, like, I'm telling you right now, guys, this book, these are the playing cards, by the way, fair play. It's going to be backwards on both. If you don't have the book, fair play. And it's annoying to read for the first time until you realize that she's talking to you.
Annoying to read.
No, you have to realize she's talking
it's
to
so,
you.
It's so, isn't it interesting? You said it was annoying to read for the first time and I was like shocked because.
How clear.
How like, oh shit, that does happen. And that, you know, like.
Yeah. The point is, and most of the guys that I've recommended it to are like, oh, this is a man-hating, femme, you know, dominant. And I'm like, no, it's not. Go back and read it again. It's you. Mm-hmm. She's yelling at you. She's saying your name. She's just saying the other guy's name.
Yeah.
And when I realized and illuminated how much you actually did during the day, I've read Fair Play a lot. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until like a year ago that I actually got it. But I heard, when I heard it for the first time, and I started to realize like, oh man, she does a lot of stuff. Like a lot. And that formula, that as I was putting that together, I was realizing, okay, the results of our marriage, let's just call it, let's say in the physical component, this is why they aren't happening.
Yeah.
It's not that she doesn't want me. It's not that I'm not doing it right. It's that there's 1,000 other things going on and I'm not being empathetic or understanding of those
things. And you're also
things.
Not taking on that list also.
Right.
So like.
Well, this list?
No, I mean the long list, like at the end of the day, like when I get to the end of the day, I'm like, okay, well,
yeah,
what didn't I get to today? What needs to happen tomorrow? What's going on the rest of the week? Do I need to, like this whole like
mind share being taken?
Mind share, emotional labor and whatever. And if you aren't sharing in that,
which I was,
then that's all I'm consumed with because it's literally just the next day, the same thing over and over again.
Here I was thinking, I had a strategy call this morning and the guy's like, I thought, we hear this so much. I thought that I was helping her out. I thought that me stepping in and like answering questions or helping her course correct was like helping her. I thought providing for the family was really so helpful. And it turns out that it's just a small aspect mm-hmm. of all the help that she really needs.
Yeah, you're going to work and getting a paycheck, but I'll use myself as like I'm at home doing 24/7, you know, doing work 24/7, and then you get to come home and you get to be like, oh, I had a hard day at work, I'm gonna relax, and it's like I just got to keep going.
Right, right. There's also delegation on there, and in your defense, there wasn't reliability trust.
Yeah.
There wasn't. I'm telling you guys, we could literally base all Irreplaceable Man's curriculum and content around the 6 trust types alone, and it would be mind-blowing. And the 6 trust types are like a very small part of everything that we do for guys to get you dialed in and get you leveled up so that you can actually show up as the husband that your wife wants to hang out with, laugh with, and fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Period. We've been married for a long time. You should expect random impulsive things out of my mouth.
I know.
Let's go through these. Again, guys, there's going to be a series of questions that we go over on Thursday at the Thursday training. If you want those questions that you can ask yourself and answer, it's like a self-reflection, and then you can talk about them with your spouse. Make sure you come to that Thursday training. It's free, and all you got to do is just jump into the group and click. And if you're not a member of the group, which all of you watching right now are, if you're listening to this on the podcast, once we release it, if you're not a member of the Irreplaceable Man community, join the community. It's free. And then you jump on with us. All right, let's roll through these. So set clear boundaries, communicate effectively, and be consistent.
Just setting clear boundaries. I think we talked a lot about love languages while we were talking about that. That is not the only thing that would fall into that category.
I just wanted to, it's making sure that you have an open and honest conversation with your partner about physical boundaries. And I just wanted to bring up that even something as simple as the ass slap or even like a shoulder rub without understanding the boundaries that your partner has in that moment
mm-hmm.
could derail you.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. So like if you got 2 kids hanging off you all day, mm-hmm. like when our kids were littler, And I come home and I'm like, man, I rocked it. I'm going to celebrate and I'm going to like massage you and be, and you're like, get the fuck away from me, dude. Now, all of a sudden, my insecurities in my personal life, guys, listen up to this. My professional life, if you listen to Howard Stern, it's like annoying. Now my personal life is like a two, because the security and confidence and courage that I have in my professional world to execute and achieve now shifts and transfers, which is the problem or the challenge that a lot of guys have, is their high level of success in the professional world doesn't transfer to the personal world. Now all of a sudden I'm standing here trying to get another deal done and you shut me down and there's no negotiation. There's nothing in place. The challenge is that it's not that it's just not transferable, my skills from professional to personal. It's that my curiosity in my professional world, understanding what someone wants, what they need from me, how I can offer them value, doesn't transfer to my personal world.
Right.
I'm just seeking the deal.
Yeah.
Without really a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is, well, let's make sure we isolate that clip. That's a good clip.
Okay.
Because that isn't, that's what I was doing. I was just expecting the deal to be done because I was crushing it all day. And I'm like, not taking any of your life, day, or anything into consideration.
Nope.
Took you for granted, boo. Mm-hmm. Can you say you took me for granted so we feel even?
So it's not a tit for tat.
I know. I'm just kidding.
I mean, I'm sure there are times where I took you for granted. I can't think of any very specific example. No. Did I ever parade you around as arm candy?
Yeah, maybe it was that.
I don't think I
ever want to show off my pretty face. All right, let's go through these. What time is it? Is it 10:30? Yeah, we're good. We've been talking for a while. I thought that was
several tangents.
I thought that was a very beneficial conversation. What do you guys think? Did you enjoy that tangent, multiple tangents that we went off on in terms of the physical?
If that happens,
drop something below.
Okay. Be consistent.
All right, number three is be consistent. There's going to be 10 of these.
Then we got to get moving. The be consistent one. Oh,
there's 20 of them, actually. Be consistent, that's reliability, trust.
Well, and that's also, like, we talk about the micro changes, you know, that, like, you can't just do one thing one day and assume it's changed.
I wish you could.
It's not.
I wish you could.
My dear.
Every single guy on this call right now, or in the group, I've had this conversation with. It's all the small microscopic over time that will build. It's a little brick at a time. Next one is show affection. Put the other two in place before. Communicate effectively and set clear boundaries, because showing affection doesn't have to be the big, big stuff. It could be something small. And I mention it, if you don't have our 12-step guide yet, make sure you grab that 12-step guide. There's one that says, face the awkward and uncomfortable. And I still remember this. I don't know if you remember it, that we were just disconnected. And one day I knew I had to break the cycle and I just grabbed your hand in the car. And I don't think we said anything. I think we might've talked about this on one of these episodes. And it was like, well, what do I do now? And my brain in like surrender mode was saying, don't do anything right now. Just connect with your hands. That's it. And then hold it. Don't like connect, not get a result, and then drop it. Just connect and be present and just let that be the affection for right now. Mm-hmm. Because there's no way that the sex life is going to increase if you can't hold hands and just be there with each other.
Mm-hmm.
So guys, it's small little things like that. Little tiny.
Even like making a cup of coffee. Like knowing that there's chaos around, or like prepping, like affection doesn't have to always be physical touch.
Oh, that's a good point.
It can be.
Let's change like, that one.
Like, you know that like it's crazy in the morning with the kids and whatever. So you make the coffee so I don't have to come down and do it. Or you prep something.
By the way, I didn't think you were still drinking coffee. That's why I haven't done it.
It's decaf.
I know. That's why I haven't done it.
Well, I haven't. I just the last couple of days I need it. It's like, but it's not like prepping. Oh, it's like doing something specifically for your partner
that you know they value.
Yes.
Without them asking.
Yeah.
big difference, which makes them know that you're paying attention.
Yeah. You know, it's like you start the coffee in the morning, or you make the bed instead of just leaving it there for them to make, or you, what?
I thought it was a bug. It's not, it's a buzz.
You bring down the laundry basket, or you, I'm just using these as like little
things. Laundry basket's 48 pounds.
It's not,
like a, it's like a, it's commercial freaking washing machine's gonna have to handle that.
It's everybody's laundry in it. That's why I don't like to make multiple trips.
I'll bring it down.
But it's like little things like that, or like filling up, bringing a cup of water, you know, just something like that, that you know, that like is a part of their routine or something that they would like.
Yeah.
And.
Or like put gas in your car so you don't have to do that.
Yeah.
You know what's interesting though? I think in the past when I would just fill your car up when I noticed it, I was in it, and I would come back and say, hey, I put gas in your car. Because I was looking for affirmation. Whereas the other day I just put gas in your car and didn't say anything.
Mm-hmm.
And Ellis was like, Ellis goes, that was nice, Dad. And I said, yeah, well, you know, Bon, sometimes we have to do things for people that we love without them asking, and we don't say anything.
Mm-hmm.
And we just clear the path for them to do a little bit more that like they'd like to do, instead of stopping or not paying attention to it. Like my car is down to 12 miles and going, oh my God, I got to get gas and I'm running late and I'm never going to make it, you know? And then all of a sudden their mind share is taken up. So mm-hmm. I think about little things like that. And I came from which is the next one. I came from a place. So number five, guys, number four is show affection. Number five is address past traumas and triggers. I came from a place where I built a habit of constantly seeking affection or attention and approval to be significant and to be loved, and little shit like that. Like, and I say it to you still, like, hey, can you give a little gratitude instead of getting on me for the shit? Can you just like give a little gratitude,
mm-hmm.
which is real. That's not approval. Yeah. That's like, can we practice that habit so I don't feel like I'm constantly freaking doing something wrong? Which, by the way, number five is one of my past traumas and triggers.
Yeah.
From preschool on, it was Ian's bad. Ian doesn't do this right. He doesn't do this right. He says this wrong. He's too loud. He's too obnoxious. He's too impulsive. He's this. He did that. He did that. And I literally can remember being 5 years old and going, do I do anything right?
Mm-hmm.
Literally, like, do I do anything fucking right here? Like, holy shit, I'm such a bad fucking person. Like, I'm the only guy in the only kid in this 30 fucking kids in this shitty school. Like, I'm the only person that's doing it fucking wrong. And nobody countered that thought. So here I am trying to, in survival mode, trying to be accepted. And so what does that look like? I became knowledgeable about mm-hmm. more things than everybody else. I became a harder worker. I developed better systems. Because ADHD was so triggering, because it was constantly associated with bad, your failures are because of ADHD, your disconnections because of ADHD, your relationship failures, ADHD, your lack of school, you know, scholastic achievement, ADHD. And then I had to protect my own fucking wiring and go, you know what? ADHD can be a benefit. I read a book called, The ADHD Advantage many, many years ago. And I thought, oh, all he talked about was systems. He goes, mm-hmm. you gotta corral it up. And so I started corralling it up and realizing that it's a fucking supercharger. It's a benefit. It's not a detriment. My whole life, though, my traumas and my triggers were that I was just this bad apple.
Mm-hmm.
And that in order to feel loved and be approved of, I had to do stuff that was above and beyond, or I had to be smarter, or I had to get a better grade, or I had to do it at a higher level. So those are some of my traumas and triggers among many. Yet if you don't understand your partner's past traumas and triggers, if you don't understand your own, your partner will never understand their own or yours. And you're literally dealing with a ghost in the room that you can't see.
I think that's one of something, I think it's the holistic psychologist. She created like modern love languages. Yeah, and I think that's one that she touches on, is like understanding your partner's traumas. I think she talks only about traumas, but they go hand in hand.
Yeah. You just don't know what buttons you're pushing that are invisible.
Yeah. Well, and that goes back to, you know, the trying to be like playful and flirty.
Yeah.
But if you're not but picking
triggering,
up, yeah.
But you're triggering a past condition, yeah. A past trauma, and you don't get that.
Yeah.
I'm going to move on because we got to go through financial stuff too. You guys want more? Go on the Thursday call. That was such a good segue. Next one, number six, build intimacy gradually. Guys, I spent a lot of time putting all these together. They're all major, so pay attention to these big time. Build intimacy gradually. It's the same one as number four. Just don't rush it. Don't rush it, especially if all six areas of trust have been broken. Yeah, Marcus, thanks, bro. If all six areas of trust have been broken and you are illuminating that maybe for the first time, do not rush the intimacy. It will come, and it'll come from the trust being restored. Next. You got anything to say on that? Create a physical, a positive physical environment. What did I write there?
Create a positive physical environment.
Oh, yeah. So clean and comfortable. I did this. This is self-serving. Self-serving. Clean and comfortable bedroom or private space where you can spend time together without distractions. I thought that was pretty,
mm-hmm.
It was pretty even keel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't have, I mean, you can also just create space where like you guys, you know, when you're like watching TV or hanging out that yeah. You're comfortable.
I feel uncomfortable that when we sit in here and watch TV, you sit in this chair.
Well, because the way the sofa is.
Why don't you communicate with me that you want to move it?
Well, but I kind of like laying back in this chair.
And it doesn't, it's not as intimate as I want to get.
Okay, so then let's
so
move
we're gonna
the,
move.
Well, that's
we
why
have,
I always
we
say
have now established. Let's move the sofa.
Why I always say let's sit on the blue sofa.
Oh yeah,
but you don't this, like the blue sofa.
No, I love the blue sofa. This TV's bigger.
Is it?
Yeah. As far as physical environment goes, I like a smaller space that has less things going on. And this space for me is very calm because it's very organized and neat. Even though Alice and our
it's
kids stuff in
a
here,
a little chaotic this morning.
It is. However,
I cleaned up the living room the other day.
The living room's too big of a space. No, for real. That's me. That's what I need. I like a smaller space where I feel safer. I feel like I don't.
I know you don't.
I don't feel
don't,
this like
I know.
Giant. Like our living room is 40 feet by 18 feet. That's
well,
a giant
it's
room.
To different sections.
It's all one room.
I know you like to be like enclosed.
Yeah. If we could make. Like the size of our bathroom in here, if that was a space, I would make a little theater in there with two little chairs. We can sit and hold hands and just like stare at a big screen. All right, let's keep going.
Take responsibility.
Guys, you got to know what the physical environment is that your spouse wants, and you got to know what you want and what makes you feel safe. Because if you're in an environment, like if I'm in a very cluttered and like disorganized environment, I'm uncomfortable. And the way that I explain it is that's what my brain's like inside. Until I run all of my thoughts and stuff through our systems and formula, which is basically the curriculum of Irreplaceable Man. Until I run it through a formulaic equation or a structure, it looks like the chaos in the room, and that freaks me out. Because if I'm out of control, think about my traumas and triggers. If I'm out of control, I can't get myself under control, focused. See, Jeremy, if I can't get myself under control, or focused, think about what I was taught. I'm bad. I'll never amount to anything. Nobody will like me. Think about it. Like that programming is still in me. So a physical environment is a reflection of my internal brain. And I want calm and clean. That makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Next. Take responsibility. Own your shit, guys. It's one of the 12 steps. Own your shit. Here's the thing to write down. The results of your marriage aren't all on you. Right. However, it is all on you to rebuild and reignite your marriage. That's it. You can argue with me all day. Email me. Ian@irreplaceableman.com. Fight with me on this. Challenge me on this. I'm fine with that. It's awesome. Just understand the results of your marriage are not all on you. The reignition of your marriage is 100% on you. Because you're following my lead.
Yeah.
Most of your wives are following your lead, no matter how masculine driven your wife is. She doesn't want to be masculine driven all the time. She wants to be able to stop, slow down. Jeez, Mayor, like 75 a pop-up. I'm watching Mayor's phone on here.
I don't know why there's so many. It's like
you gotta set the alerts different. Okay, so own your shit, guys. Like if you own your actions, or when you own your actions, when you own your mistakes and you can apologize authentically for them, you're rebuilding emotional reliability, physical, like you're building so many pieces of trust. And the last one, real quick, because we got like 15 minutes to get into financial. The last one.
Oh, sorry. Nine. I got distracted. Seek additional support.
That's us. For real. Doesn't have to be us. Could be, it's a coach, right? Therapy, waste of time, in my opinion. It might be different. Marriage counseling, waste of time. Why? Because they can only go so far. And most counselors, like most coaches, they don't have shit for a program. They got no structure. They haven't done it on their own. And they're just going to read a book to you. You can read that book and you can come to us and we can actually give you structure and strategy to get you forward. So seek additional support. How do you do that? You got to raise your hand. You got to advocate for yourself and you got to say, hey, I'm worth it. I matter. Remember that from before? I'm worth it. I matter. I'm going to make this happen. And then raise your hand. Okay, next. We're going to run through this really quickly. You want more? Come to Thursday. That wasn't a pitch. That's just, we're running out of time because I thought the other stuff we talked about was really beneficial. So tips for rebuilding financial trust. And I've got two sections here that I'm going to run through really fast. And we're going to stop and do a couple examples. First, like we talked about in the beginning, set clear financial goals together. Sit down with your partner and discuss your financial goals and a plan to achieve them and then work together on it. Next, create a joint budget, especially if you're newly married or you're newly together and you're moving in together. You got to know what each other's spending. I mean, if your partner is $3,000 in the hole every month and you're $4,000 positive every month, like your ass is going to be covering because now you got a name on a lease. You know what I mean? Next, practice transparency. So discuss any financial challenges you're having and work to find a solution. Like, be open and honest about your financial situation, guys. Don't try and hide it. If you got $200,000 in student loan debt, say that because that's going to eventually be your partner's problem if it already isn't your partner's problem. Next, be accountable. Take responsibility for your financial decisions and actions, whether it's in the past, present, or in the future. Be accountable to them. And I'm going to add another one in here, which is get educated on financial matters. Mm-hmm. The next one is regularly review and update your finances. Mayor does our personal. I am, and it kind of surprised you a little bit how detailed I am with our numbers on our business.
Yeah.
My spreadsheets are pure insanity. They're like my Mona Lisa. It's how I get my creativity out. I love them. I also had to teach myself how to love numbers and how to be organized with a giant spreadsheet of, you know, projections and that kind of thing. And I review them every single week. And every professional that I coach, whether it's a real estate agent or another business owner, tracking the numbers is crucial. So you've got to review your finances. And any big purchases, you got to make those together. And on the next section, you'll see I put something about little purchases. You want to read 7 and 8?
Practice good communication. Duh. So you regularly check in with about your financial situation.
Yep. And be willing to listen and understand your partner if they mess something up. Avoid placing blame or judgment.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. What's the next one?
Make decisions together. So involve your partner in financial decisions.
Not just major. A lot of guys will come to me and say,
minor financial decisions.
Well, I told my wife about the car, the motorcycle, the house, this. And I go, cool. Why don't you tell your wife that you're going to go out and buy a $60 Lego set? Or why don't you tell your wife that you spent $85 on drinks? You know, like you and I are very open financially. There's not one thing that I would buy, unless it's like gas or like little like $10 that I won't call you
on. Yeah, we talked about this. Like we kind of have a threshold.
It isn't like I'm at Target and I go, Mary, can I have this candy bar? Like, it's not that. There's a level of trust in there for sure. It's just,
well, it's the trust of money. Like, you know, we know that like, we're not going to go to the store and you're not going to show up with a new TV.
Right.
When you were supposed to go to Target to get toilet paper.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. That's the piece in place because my brain works like I want that And then I don't think about anything else. Yeah. And then I just buy it. So the structure we put in place is anything over a certain threshold, we're calling each other. Now, like, our daughter wants this gymnastics bar. Mm-hmm. And she's like, Dad, let's just order it right now. And what I'm teaching her is, like, because she came to me with it, or we were talking about when we were out, is, okay, well, mom's got to be involved in that decision, one. And two, as another layer, you got to figure out how you're going to pay for it. Mm-hmm. So you, me, and mom will sit down and we'll organize our plan and we'll show you that this is your hourly rate and we'll track it. And then you can earn this. And this is how much time it takes you. So mm-hmm. how much do you really want it? And it's something that I really want to get for her because she's so good in gymnastics. And we got to make the decision. And it's like $150. So yeah. It's not like $2,000. Like, it's $150. And you know what's interesting though? There are some places where I wanted you, remember I told you this before, like I wanted you to push back on me. Like I actually didn't want to do it and I knew I'd regret it or have buyer's remorse. Yeah. And I wanted you to be more firm, which you and I have talked about, like you being more firm with me definitely benefits. Like there's times where I was like, hey, do you think I can get this? And you're like, oh yeah. And I'm like, damn it. I kind of want her to be the no. So I could be mad at her and not have to make this decision, you know?
But that's not fair to me.
No, I know. And that was in the past. So here's what I wrote down. Involve your partner in major and minor financial decisions. If trust has been broken, I can guarantee you that out of 100 guys that listen to this, 100 of you have broken trust in your relationships with yourself and your partner, period. If trust has been broken, it can come back to you quickly with little steps and evidence. And you guys know, for those of you that have had conversations, most of you are in our programs, you know that it's the little things that add up to the big, right? Because they set the foundation so the big can be supported. If you don't, right? If you want to celebrate just all the major wins and your partner doesn't trust you with money, like, show them that you and major financial decisions such as investments or purchases are made with them. I don't know why that sentence doesn't make sense. Like, your partner should be making financial decisions. I used to have clients that would say, but my wife doesn't want to hear anything about the real estate investment. I'm like, yeah, well, she's probably fucking bored with it. Like, because it's boring. Mm-hmm. I mean, at least to me it is. And they go, yeah, well, it's a family decision. It's the family's money. We should be making a decision together. And I go, well, we got to think about why your wife doesn't want to talk to you about that. So yes, major decisions she should be a part of. However, if she's not a part of the minor decisions, she's probably not interested in the major decisions, or she doesn't trust you with the majors because she doesn't trust you with the minors.
Right.
Make sense? Mm-hmm. Anything to add?
Nope.
So build a sense of shared responsibility. Promote trust in each other's financial decision-making abilities. Because if you're out busting your ass making a lot of money, and it really is, even if you're not making any much money, and you're worried constantly about what your partner is spending, and you're watching receipts and you're looking over every little thing, it can be mind-consuming and time-consuming, mm-hmm. you know? So make your decisions together. If you guys can't make decisions on money together, then that's where you start. Why can't we make decisions on money together? What's going on? What's your financial education? What's mine? What's your relationship with money? What's mine?
It's also maybe it's not just the relationship with money too. It's your relationship together too. It can be yeah. nerve-wracking
yeah.
to talk to each other about money.
Yeah. Agreed. Okay,
I was just gonna say, especially if like one of you is a like really dominant personality, it can be hard.
You're
to
saying like me?
No, but it can't, like, you know, it took us, especially when you were making real estate investments, like you were just doing it, right? And it took us a long time to like get to a point where we could actually have a conversation that was like chill about it.
So let's talk about that for a second. We got a couple minutes left. I was making real estate choices and deals, which were, you know, we've made a lot of money in real estate. We've made a lot of
oopsies
and fuck ups in real estate. And we're better today than we've ever been mm-hmm. because of all those things. I was making real estate purchases, and this is 90% of the guys that I talk to. It's significance. It's making yourself feel important. It's making yourself look good. It's making yourself keep up with the Joneses and be a part of this group, because that's all they do is talk about units and volume. And okay, well, if I want to be friends with these guys, I got to do that. Okay. And I got caught up in all that shit. And so talking to you about it and asking you for permission and having to explain myself, and some of these deals I did were dumb. Not all, like some of them were dumb. Or some of the partners we had were stupid, like so stupid. That was my insignificance, or that was my insecurity. I didn't want you to say no to me, which then meant I couldn't play in some of these circles, yeah. Or I wouldn't have as many units, or, you know, with a lot of these groups I was in, it was all about performance and production, and there was no like personal growth and development. So in order to stay relevant, I had to constantly make my numbers move.
Right.
Now, if Mayor would say no to me making the numbers move or buying another, you know, property, then I wouldn't have been significant. I can tell you right now that that was one of the biggest mistakes I'd ever made. If you had weighed in and said, hey, dude, slow down for a second. Let's wait 3 months to buy another property. It might have saved us from all the shit we've been through. Mm-hmm. And domino wise, we wouldn't have the coaching business we have today or the marriage we have today, because we had to go through some shit to, you know, so it's all great. I know for a fact that if you would have said, no, we're not buying another house for 3 months, I would have respected it. I would have told you I didn't like you for it. But like in my mind, I would have been like, okay, cool. Blame my wife. You know, I talk to a lot of guys in these big groups, and they're real estate driven. And they're like, I don't want to keep buying. Like, I go, well, what is your actual goal? And they don't know. They're just buying, you know, to get to a place worth passive income. Yet there is no port in the storm. There's no, mm-hmm. there's no port in mind, you know?
Well, because we're fed invest in real estate. It's a great wealth builder, but nobody talks about how it's a liability until it becomes an asset. Okay. And so you have to buy it in the right way for it to not to be a.
This is true. All right. We don't have time to go through the other. Dude, I got 10 more examples.
Jeez.
Ooh. 10 more examples. You want them? Come to Thursday. I'll spit them all out. No, seriously. This isn't a play. I just don't have time to go through 10 more. We have 2 minutes left, and I want to be respectful of everybody's time. How'd you do on this one?
Good.
Good. Feel better, more confident?
A little bit. I felt a little awkward.
It is today. Awkward.
I'm also.
It's awkward.
I was tired, so I wasn't as like.
Bubbly?
I don't know. Am I usually bubbly?
I was going to say, I don't know if you're usually that bubbly.
I don't know if I'm.
Bubbly's not your person.
I know. That's, I'm not usually bubbly.
Okay. So, guys, if you made it this far, I know Marcus did. If you made it this far, which you should have, because this is valuable shit. If you made it this far, drop your comments in. What are your takeaways? What did you learn? What were your ahas? What were your like, oh my God, that was super valuable. I didn't know that. Just drop in what you got from this episode. If you're listening on the podcast, go into the group, find this, drop it, or just drop your question into the group and we'll answer it. Remember, if you need our 12-step guide to becoming an irreplaceable husband, it's free. You can grab it. I'll drop it in the description or the comments of this episode. If you want our 6 trust type stock, our marriage assessment, or any of the other cool stuff that we got, they're all free. Drop something in the comments here. And if you haven't yet joined our group, join our group. It's free. It's awesome. Our goal is to give you as much value as possible. We had a coach a couple years ago, a coaching company that we went with, that offered us so much value up front. It made me feel so good. And I just said, I want to build a coaching business like that. So our goal is to give you everything you can possibly need to get you started or to go from good to great. And then when you want amazing, or when you can stabilize, you need our help, we got you. Or if you're there and you need stabilization now with systems and structure and strategy, book a call with me. They're free too. It's fucking Value City. And not like the cheap furniture place in Baltimore, like real Value City.
I think it's national.
Oh, well, whatever. It's Value City, not the cheap furniture place. It's Value City. Like, we're offering this great value, and I feel really good about that. And we're doing four or five strategy calls a day with you guys, especially the group guys. So if you need something, if you don't know what move to make, if you feel insecure about that, if your wife's like, fuck it, I'm leaving if you don't change, and you don't know what to do, you don't have a clue, like, man, fuck, I thought everything was working. You need a strategy, you need a structure, and you need it from a perspective of somebody like me or Mayor or you know, even another coach that has really been through the shit. And not that they can tell you about how to get out, they can show you with proven structure and curriculum like we can. So if you need something, we got you. And that's it. Mm-hmm. Book that call. So I'm going to put all those links in right here. And then we're good to go. Cool? All right. That's it, peeps. Thanks for listening on the podcast. We love you, and we'll catch you on the next one.